I invite you to, if you would, please, to turn to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Our text will be verse 22 through verse 25. Let's notice these verses. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Personally, I have never been on the sea in a boat, let alone be there while there is a storm. But I have been on a few lakes, never in a storm, mind you, but I have been out on the water when the wind was blowing and the lake was a little bit choppy. Regardless of my experience or lack thereof, we are aware that storms blow in, whether on a lake or on the sea or on the ocean. And we all have seen the videotape of ships on the high seas being tossed to and fro. Well, more often than not, those who were sailing the ocean blue had knowledge of the brewing gale. They had time to prepare the ship for troubled waters. And if my memory serves right, I believe the nautical term is batten down the hatches. But sometimes the storms arise so quickly that it catches the sailors off guard. Such was true on the Sea of Galilee. In our text, we find the disciples being caught by a storm while attempting to cross over the sea. While perhaps we are concerned about storms of wind and rain, I am presently more interested in the storms of life. And if you are at this moment enjoying a calm sea, then praise the Lord. But soon enough, the wind will pick up, and the skies will grow dark, and the waves will beat against the ship. Soon enough, you'll be tossed to and fro like these disciples. And it may be possible that the storm will be severe. If, however, you should already be sailing through a storm, then there is no need for me to give description. I do believe we can learn something from this historical account. And hopefully we shall arrive safely on the other shore with greater faith and trust in the Lord. May we have peace in our hearts as we face the rough seas ahead. The title of my message were the last three words, Rough Seas Ahead. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Those who could be with us, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we honor you. We pray that this time would be pleasing in your sight. Bless your word as it goes forth. Speak to our hearts. Draw us unto you. Cause us to find comfort. And Lord, we pray for those who are in the midst of heavy storms at this time. Help them to look to you and to cast their care upon you because you care for them. And Lord, help each of us, though we may not be in a storm at this time, recognize that life does happen and storms do come. And we need to be prepared for that, and we need to already have settled in our mind where we shall turn. And so help us to learn from this passage today. May we be strengthened and encouraged by it. We pray that everything that's said and done would be for your honor and for your glory. We pray for the lost, that they might be saved. And we pray for the sick, that they might be healed, the bereaved, that they might be comforted. And we commit it to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. We look from our passage today in the book of Luke, chapter 8, Rough Seas Ahead. Our text, verse 22 through verse 25. So I begin in verse 22, and notice the companions in travel. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. I mentioned to you this is just a brief declaration of what's going to take place here, and I want you to notice the companions in travel. As these guys get together on this ship, they're going to go across the Sea of Galilee. Their boat would have been about 45 foot in length, maybe about 10 to 15 feet in width. We're not talking about an ocean liner here, but we're not talking about a little rowboat you might have in your backyard. This is a fair-sized fishing vessel for them, but I want you to notice that he gets into a ship with his disciples. I think it's important to recognize that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, better yet, that He knows us, that there is a special relationship. I, as a Christian, I, as a child of God, have a relationship with the Lord. It is a special relationship. I am His disciple. I believe after Him. I follow after Him. I want to serve Him. I want to yield unto Him. These guys that are getting into this ship with Him have a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are disciples. They've been walking with Him. They've been following after Him. And so, dear friend, I want to remind you that as a Christian, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, as a Christian, you have a relationship with God, a special relationship with God, and that should mean something to you, and it should make a difference on how you respond to the events of life. So here these guys, they get into the boat, they gather together. I would also submit unto you that they have a camaraderie among them. I mean, they've been walking together, they've been following the Lord together, they get into this small boat, they're going to cross the sea together, they enjoy each other's company, and well, you say, well, they ever have a division? Well, they've had some arguments, and they will have arguments, but overall, they enjoy each other's company. And so we see a group of the Lord's people getting together, getting in a boat, and they're traveling together to go across the sea. When we look into this verse and we find that these companions are travel, they are indeed traveling, and the reason they're traveling is they are exactly where God wanted them to be. Now, I think it's important for you, if you're going to take an application from this passage, to recognize that they were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee at the Lord's bidding. Notice he says, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Now, he could have said, well, we're just going to stay here, and they would have stayed there. But he said, let us go over. So they get into the boat, and they get out in the lake, and then the storm comes down. And why are they in the lake when the storm comes? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, let us go over. And my friend, as you'll make application as we go through this message today, you will find that very often as you go through your Christian walk, you're simply doing what God wants you to do. You're at where God wants you to be at, and yet storms will come up. That's exactly what happens right here. But he says, let us go over to the other side. They're going to take a journey. And the last part of the verse we find then, they responded in obedience, which, by the way, is always good counsel for the child of God. Respond in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and they launched forth. So you say, well, if they were in disobedience, they'd have never been out in the storm. Well, that's true, but they also wouldn't have learned what they learned by being out in the storm. And so be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do as God commands you to do. And if God allows a storm to come, you trust Him. That's what you'll find as we go through this passage and recognize that there may be some rough seas ahead for us. So verse 22, we find companions in travel. Verse 23, we have the onset of trouble. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So you'll notice as they got onto the sea and they got into the boat and doing just what they had done many times before. Oh, I would remind you that a number of these disciples were fishermen by trade. They spent a lot of time on the Sea of Galilee. This is old hat for them. I mean, this is something that they've done many, many, many times. But as they were going along, everything was going along as usual. Now, I trust that much of your life is sunny and warm. We like to have sunny and warm. We like to have no storms and troubles arise. Hopefully, our lives will be more positive than negative. But what we find is they're getting in a boat. They're doing what they've always done. Things look good. By the way, I'd also submit unto you as we read those words, but as they sailed, they were simply doing what they knew to do. Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. They knew how to do that. They got in the boat, they were sailing, and they were headed to the other side. They'd done it many times before, doing what they know to do. Christian, have you ever realized and recognized that you're going along in your life, you're just simply doing what God wants you to do, and you've been doing it for a long time, but you're being faithful to God? That's where these guys are at. They're simply doing what God wants them to do. But then we have, at the beginning of verse 23, an item of importance here that you'll have to make application toward. He says, as the Scripture says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus went to sleep. Now, normally when people sleep, we're kind of unconscious to the world, aren't we? I mean, things can happen around us and, well, we're asleep. We don't know what's happening. Jesus fell asleep. So, from a human perspective, and let me emphasize that, from a human perspective, Jesus was not aware. Now, I back up for a moment and submit unto you who Jesus is, and that he is God's Son, God in the flesh. Do you really think he is ignorant of the events that are going to take place? Not really, but from a human standpoint. From the viewpoint of these disciples, Jesus is asleep. He doesn't know what's going on. This will bear out a little bit further. But they were doing what they knew to do. Jesus went and went to the back of the ship. He went to sleep. And then all of a sudden a storm blows in. Very common on the Sea of Galilee for storms to arise suddenly. Came in unexpectedly. They weren't looking forward to that. And here came the storm upon them. It says that a storm of wind on the lake. This was such a storm that, well, it says they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. This is not just, well, a little squall here. They've encountered storms like this in the past and they know how difficult these things are. This is a tremendous storm of which they're in. The ship is taking on water. And, well, the Bible says they are in jeopardy. And so keep in mind, you have seasoned sailors. You have fishermen. That's what they've done all their life. With all their training, all their experience, and all their effort, they could not minimize the risks. So here they are. They're doing what they can. And water just keeps coming in. Starting to fill up. Boat's starting to sink lower into the sea. This doesn't look very good at all. You ever recognize, dear Christian friend, that we, with all of our experience and all of our training and all of our effort, we think we've got control of the boat, but we'll find that when troubles come and affliction comes, that those things are beyond us? And here they are in all their experience, couldn't do anything. The water is filling up the boat. And so the danger, by the way, was very real. We don't minimize the danger. It says that they were in jeopardy. They were. There's a good possibility this thing might go down. They all just might drown in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And so we have people doing what they normally do at the request of the Lord Jesus Christ, and boom, trouble comes. That's where they're at. Look into verse 24 and notice the receipt of tranquility. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perished. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. One thing I like about these guys, when trouble came, when they finally recognized it was beyond their reach and beyond their ability, they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the truth is, they should have turned to him right away. However, we like to depend upon our experience. We can do it without you, God. But then when it gets beyond us, then we're turning to the Lord. Well, you should be turning to God. And I've known way too many who will not turn to God. And that's just a tragic mistake. I've known many run away from God. Don't do that, my friend. You say you know Jesus is Lord and Savior. You have problems and heartaches and issues. Turn to God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your burden to the Lord. They came to him after they recognized we're not getting anywhere with this bailing and this ship's going down. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned to him and it says they awoke him. Well, from a human perspective, he was asleep. He was unconscious to the world. From their view, and you have to follow up on the comments I made earlier, but from their view, they are now informing him as to the situation. He doesn't know what's going on. We wake him up, and then we'll tell him we've got a storm going, and we need your help. Remember who he was. Remember, he's the Son of God. See, we have the tendency to think that God doesn't know. And then God's not aware, unless we tell him. I submit unto you, even if he was physically asleep, he was still absolutely aware of what was going on. And they woke him thinking they were giving him information that he didn't know, but he already knew. He was controlling it all while he was asleep. My, the Son of God, how tremendous is that? But they inform him, they wake him up, and their urgency is expressed in the appeal to him where they said, Master, Master, we perish. We perish. This is a serious matter, God. You ever had to do that? You ever been in such a situation, you went before God and said, God, this is just absolutely way beyond me. If you don't move, it will not be done. God, I turn to you. This is where they are. And so they cry out to God in urgency. And as a matter of fact, if you would look at the parallel passage in the book of Mark, you don't need to turn over there, but they seem to chide him for his indifference. Well, he was asleep, and in Mark it records for us, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? And oh, how sad it is when Christians get to the place where they say, God, you don't care anymore. Don't you care that I perish? Don't you care that I'm going through this problem? How sad that is. Well, they are there and they're crying out to the Lord because they're going to perish. And this is very severe. The risk is great. But at least they turn to him, they wake him up, and of course he arises. We read there in the latter part of verse 24, he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Jesus came to the rescue, and I'm so thankful for that. Christ will come to the rescue. And really, if you think about it, things are back to normal. They set out in a normal circumstance, something they've done all the time. Storm comes in. Jesus arises, calms the sea, and things are back to normal. Aren't you glad when things are back to normal? Aren't you glad when things become manageable again? We got to be careful about that because we think we can manage it, but we really can't. But I'm glad that things seem to be within reason. And Jesus then listens to their cry, stands up, rebukes it. Everything's calm. That's nice. The storm's over. What a comfort it is when the storms are past. But our story's not over because we want to look into verse 26, or 25 rather, and notice the cause for training. Here's an opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples something. Now again, we mentioned if they would have been disobedient, they would have been on the coast and they wouldn't have been out in the sea. They could never learn this lesson. But they're there at his command. The trouble comes up and he's going to teach them something. And so, by the way, dear Christian friend, I would encourage you, when trouble or trial comes, ask God to show you what He's trying to teach you. There's always a lesson to be learned. And I would encourage you to look for that lesson. Well, here's the cause for training, verse 25. And He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the wind and the water, and they obey Him. Where is your faith? Jesus rebukes them for their response. Now, to be quite honest with you, I cannot blame the disciples. I think I would have done exactly like the disciples had done. I think that's a typical human experience. We think we have it under control. We think we can take care of it. And then when it gets just a little bit beyond our reach, fortunately, we'll turn to the Lord. But their response of saying, don't you care that we perish? Sometimes we cop that kind of an attitude and we're not trusting God. We're not relying upon Him. And so He takes care of the situation. We think He doesn't even know. He doesn't care. He's asleep. He says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Again, I would remind you, while He was sleeping, He still controlled the universe. That's Jesus. That's who He is. There was never a risk for them to go under. Not one time. But from their viewpoint, it looked pretty rough. So I can't blame the guys, to be honest with you. And I've come up short in my faith on occasion. Haven't you? He rebukes them for their response. Where is your faith? Four things emanate from this I want to submit unto you. Faith recognizes God's presence. It takes faith to believe that Jesus is in your heart as a Christian. It takes faith to know that He walks with you. Takes faith to know He's on His throne and He's in control. Faith requires or recognizes God's presence. No matter what happens in this life, I must always keep in mind God is with me. Christ is in my heart. But you only know that by faith. Secondly, faith recognizes God's providence. Providence. The guiding hand of God. What God will accomplish in the affairs of men. We call that the providence of God. God's sovereignty displayed among mankind. Why were they on the ocean or the Sea of Galilee? Why did the storm come up at that time? It was in the providence of God. He chose them to be out there. He directed them to be there. They were out there. The storm came up, and the lesson comes out. And what we need to recognize, my friend, as we go through this life, that God does have His providence, and we need to recognize His presence, and we need to recognize His providence. I had a lovely trip to Louisiana the other day. You get on the road on the interstate, man, anything can happen. Those cars are just wielding projectiles, and it doesn't take but just a split second, and you could be no more. You could be in the actual physical presence of God. Doesn't take much. I'm so thankful for God's providence. God watches over and God will protect. Have you ever been driving down the road and the guy up in front of you, he drifts off or playing with his phone or texting somebody or whatever, and they drift over and right into your lane, but they're about 20, 30 feet in front of you? What if you'd have been beside him and they're texting and they decide to drift in your lane while you're beside him? Then what happens? You say, well, that 20, 30 feet was my difference. Well, you can call it what you will. It was God's providence. You didn't get wiped out. That make sense to you? Faith recognizes God's providence. And we need to trust God that God is on His throne. That doesn't mean that we'll never have a trouble or a trial or a care. God permits those things to come to us, and He permits them for a purpose. But your faith will recognize His providence. And my, what a difference that'll make as you approach your life. Number three, I submit unto you that faith recognizes God's protection. I like that they said, we perish, do something about this. And God is a sovereign God. God can do anything. I know that He can. Does that mean that He's going to heal every person I visit in the hospital and keep them from dying? No. If he was going to do that, my parents wouldn't be dead. But in God's providence, He allowed them to die. He took them to be with Him. I have to trust God's providence, but God does protect. Many of you have been in the hospital. Some of you have been at death's door. And you know what a difficulty those things are, and God brings back. God protects, doesn't He? In that providence, God protects. And even if something should happen, God can bring you out. You say, but I've known too many that hadn't been brought out. And that's in His providence. You have to trust Him that God can protect. You have to recognize who God is and what He can do. And never forget God's ability. The fourth thing that I believe is faith, because you have to recognize these guys. Christ is he's asleep on the boat, but they think He doesn't know. They think this storm, well, it's just like every other storm, but still it was by the providence of God that they were there, but they're still worried about what's going on, and they're afraid that God won't protect them. They're going to go under. And so that last thing comes up, faith recognizes God's purposes. There was a purpose they were out there, and I believe that purpose, if anything, was to teach them or to teach us, because we have the record of it. And so we can read from it and learn from it, and we can grow. So maybe they went through it just for me, and maybe for you. Ah, but we know they got a great lesson, did they not? And so Jesus rebukes them for their response. He says, where's your faith? He said that to me many times, and He'll probably say it yet again. We need faith, don't we? Faith. Now look something else about these guys in the latter part of verse 25. And excuse my expression, hopefully it'll make sense, but from my take, these guys, their school just wasn't in session. You know what I mean by that? Well, verse 25 it says, "And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the wind and the water, and they obey him." He rebukes them for their lack of faith. And instead of connecting with that, instead of sitting in a school and picking up and say, "Well, let me get that down. Wait a minute, back up, repeat that. Let me get it. Let me write it word for word." They're off and away. No connection whatsoever in these disciples about faith and my response. Nothing. There's no link up there. They're just not in session. They're just not thinking, are they? Their amazement shows that to me. Jesus arose up. I mean, they turned to him for help. Then he gave them help, and they go, "Wow. Isn't that amazing? We'll do that." We'll say, "God, would you please do that?" And God will answer a prayer, and we'll go, "Wow, I didn't expect that. Wow." We got to get on board with this. We need faith. We need to recognize who God is and what he can do. Their amazement shows me. They were wondering, and it was fearful because of that. And to be quite honest, if I was out in a boat and he calmed the storm and the wind and the waves cease and all that, I might be a little bit iffy about that myself. Wouldn't you? Be a little bit fearful. Well, that's where they were. Yeah, it's because of lack of faith. And they just weren't getting the lesson. As a matter of fact, when I look at the remainder of the verse, I think they're more interested in the event than they are the God of the event. What? You calm the storm and the winds have ceased and the waves quit tossing into the boat. They're all upset about that. They never stop to think. I mean, they're afraid of him because of what he accomplished, but it's not, "Wow, glorify God for what he has done." They're concerned about the event. Kind of reminds me of when the people were following him because of the loaves and the fishes. Not for the fact of who God is and that God provided food for a multitude. They wanted the food themselves. They were so distracted with the here and now. They had no faith for what the lesson really was. And so they just weren't in session. And their fear of him, too. They're scared. Now, "Ooh, who is this guy?" They turn to him, ask him for help. He does it, and then they go, "Ooh." It says that they were afraid. That's what the Scripture says. "What manner of man is this?" They should have known what manner of man he was. They've been walking with him for some time. They've seen him do all kinds of miracles and works. Well, they turned to him for help. Why would they be surprised at that? But they were. They were. The parallel passage in Mark also tells us how frightened they were. And to me, their fear of him and the sense of what is expressed in the text demonstrates a lack of faith. Well, that's my take on it. This is a time for training for them. Teaches them a great lesson here. Now, someone might always raise an objection, and if you would, turn back to the book of Mark, chapter 6. It's amazing how there are always skeptics, and there are always critics, and there are always people who are going to raise up objections to the plain truths of Scripture. And I understand that I can't answer every question you might raise, and you might have a good argument on occasion, but I want to bring up an objection here because over in the book of Mark, chapter 6, we see a similar account. They're on the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up, but this time Jesus isn't with them. This time Jesus is not on the boat. He's not asleep. He's on the shore. And so someone listening to the message like mine today, speaking about the rough seas that are ahead and Jesus and what he can do and the faith that we need to respond to him in, and we can learn a great lesson and find great comfort in all this, There's always going to be those who will pop up and go, "Well, what about this?" Okay, well, let's look at it. Mark chapter 6, and verse 46. We'll just read the passage. It's pretty much self-evident. I've given you enough information as background anyway. Verse 46 says, of the book of Mark, chapter 6, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." So they're separated. "And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. Here they are, they're struggling out in the middle. They've been rowing for hours. They haven't gotten anywhere. They're wearing out. And here's the trouble upon them. And where's Jesus? Now the objection is, Jesus wasn't always with them. Well, physically he wasn't. That's obvious. He was on the shore. They were on the boat. But the answer to that is, that may be true physically, but it certainly is not true spiritually. Because Jesus is always with his people spiritually. Always. Is Jesus physically here? No, but he is spiritually. He meets with his church. He dwells in our hearts. And someone says, well, he wasn't with them. And the thing is, what we'll do is we'll take that, we'll go, you know, God's way up there and we're down here and he doesn't see what's going on in my life and he doesn't know and God just doesn't care about me anymore. I've met a few people along my ministry that said, God doesn't care for me anymore. How tragic. Don't you ever be one of them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise to the church in Matthew 28, 20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Always. So if something would have happened on me on Interstate 55 on the way to or the way back from the grand state of Louisiana, would God have been with me? Absolutely. Would Jesus still be in my heart? Absolutely. If I'd have been in a wreck and any kind of thing could have happened, would he still be with me? Absolutely. I need to trust God. And I need to lean upon him. He's not here physically, but he is here spiritually. And I guarantee you there was absolutely no risk of those guys going down in that storm when he was with them, and there was no risk of those guys going down in the sea while he was on the land. Absolutely none. Wasn't going to happen. And my friend, I know that there is nothing that will happen to me unless it passes through the fingers of God first. And God may permit things to come. Tragedy happens. It happens all the time. And the heart goes out to people who suffer those things. Christians suffer. But God is absolutely aware. Will you learn from these guys? Will you take this historical account and find application? And don't let the skeptic bother you by saying, yeah, but you can't see him and you can't touch him and you can't prove. It's by faith, my friend. Faith. Faith. So in conclusion, let me submit this unto you and I'll be finished. Number one, may we remember his awareness. That is, he knows. He knows everything about you. He knows your fears. He knows your heartaches, your trials, your tribulations, your triumphs, your joys. God knows everything about you. So don't ever think God doesn't know, because he does. The Bible teaches that God is omniscient. God knows all things. So always keep in mind his awareness. God knows about you. Number two, may we recall his ability. That is, he can change it. Didn't say that he would. I can't make that promise. I don't know God's will for your life, but he can. He can. And so as we prayed for my dad that he might come back to life and health, and he didn't. God took him. We prayed for our mother that the Lord would spare her, bring her back. He didn't. That's okay. It's okay. God can change anything. but he may not choose to. And he has a reason for that. And we'll mention that in just a second. Number three, may we rely upon his access. Simply stated, he is present. You may not be able to reach out and touch him. But spiritually, if you're a child of God, he dwells in your heart. He said he'll never leave you. Never leave you. Believe it, dear friend. And so I submit unto you in every storm. In every storm, you're there by design. It's not guesswork. It's not luck. It's not, I had bad luck today. You're there by design. Number two, you must depend upon him. In every storm, you must trust God. In every storm. Number three, you may declare your fears. In other words, it's okay to cry out to God and say, I'm scared. It's okay to say, I hurt. In my ministry, I've counseled people time and time again. If you have heartache, if you're burdened, you cry out to God. You tell him. Pour your heart out to him. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you. Tell him. And it's okay to cry out. And if you get to the point where you're just upset with him and you say, Master, care something that we perish, then tell him. If you're mad at God, tell him. I think you ought to declare your fears to him. He's big enough. He can handle that. Number four, in every storm, you should determine to grow from it. I mean, no matter what happens, my friend, you need to say, God, what can I learn from this? How can I grow? How can I be a better servant of yours? Grow from it. And in every storm, never doubt his presence. Never doubt it. Christian, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Never doubt that. So take courage, my friend. And when rough seas come, or if you're in them now, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, learn from these lessons, and make application. And I pray it'll make a difference for you. Dear sinner, we didn't speak much about the gospel today, but Jesus is the Savior. In him alone can you have eternal life. You need to repent and believe on him. He alone can give you salvation. He alone can wash you in his blood. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Blessed are our hearts. We ask you to save the lost, strengthen the saved. And I pray that you would bless these lessons to our lives. And especially as we look around in our communities and we look around at this world and all the things that are going on, we can become so fearful and affrighted. And Lord, the troubles in our lives, sometimes they just seem to come all the time. And Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean upon you. And help us to keep our eye upon you. And let us learn from these things that we might respond well for your honor and glory. Grant us the faith that we need to do that. And Lord, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Songs number 300.